Remarkable. Truly remarkable.
Mildred looked up from the stethoscope at the keen-faced woman who stood hovering on the opposite side of the bench. She smiled, and it was returned.
So tell me, Michaela, how the hell did you come by this?
Michaela shrugged. She was small, just over 5 feet, and had a crop of gingery brown hair that had been razored so that the long spikes stood on end. Her oval face was open, her brown eyes keen. She looked more like a teenager in high school than an experienced healer.
That's the weirdest thing. I think that there must be an old hospital in the remains of the pre-dark ville that still has some old tech working in it. One of the hunting parties out there came across it and brought all this stuff back. It took them a couple of journeys, and to be honest, it didn't make much sense to me at first. But Bones has so much stuff, all I had to do was root around until I found books that explained it all.
Bones?
Yeah, he's the guy your friend Doc is staying with. I hope you don't mind me saying this, but they seem well matched.
In what way would that be then?
Well, it's just that Bones has a reputation for being a bit crazy. Nothing wrong with that. I guess it's kind of an occupational hazard. A bit like me risking getting sick dealing with sick people. What with him having to deal with all that information and try and work out what it means. It's bound to make you a bit strange compared to everyone else.
Sorry. Maybe I'll explain it to you sometime. I'm not laughing at you. I just think you've hit it right on the nose. Guess this means that Ethan is pretty slick when it comes to putting people together. Very good at character judgment.
Yeah, he is kind of good at that sort of thing.
Ethan has it all worked out. Getting someone to take on all that old knowledge that you found and try to make sense of it. Getting this medical stuff here so you can study it. This is the richest ville that I've seen for a long, long time. It seems like he wants to drag you all out of the Dark Ages and into a new age.
In some ways, I guess you could say that. But let's get back to this. You've seen things like this before?
Mildred scanned the young woman's face. There was something that she didn't want to let slip right now, that was for sure. But Mildred was trying to hide her own excitement. She didn't want to reveal her complete familiarity with what was in front of her, something that she thought she would never see again. Vaccines against smallpox, chickenpox, and rubella. 3 slides taken from 3 vials and examined under the scope. Viruses and vaccines in a refrigerated cabinet that she had not seen since the days before Skydark, when she had been a working hospital doctor.
I guess I'm kind of like this Bones guy. When I find something interesting on our travels, I like to find out more.
So this technology has survived elsewhere?
Yeah, I've seen it, but not for a very long time.
You ask me, there ain't a finer armory anywhere in this crap hole world.
Scar beamed proudly as he chambered around into a pump-action 12-gauge and took aim at a distant target. The target, a wooden representation of a man, splintered under the impact. The recoil had to have been heavy, but there wasn't even the slightest tremor in the man's shoulder muscles. JB noted this. Scar Longthorn, the armorer for Pleasantville, was 300 pounds of muscle, standing at 6'2". He made the wiry JB look like a scrawny dwarf beside him. And he had an ego to match his size. All that JB had heard about since he'd been dropped off at the armory was how big, how well-equipped, how well-maintained it was. And it was true that the ville had amassed, either through trade, scavenge, or plunder, a formidable range of weaponry. They had knives, swords, and spears of all descriptions, immaculately oiled and polished. There was a wide range of hand blasters, rifles, SMGs, and also a few heavy-duty grenade launchers. All of these, crated and oiled, stored in oiled paper and rags to protect them until they were required. Grens and Plasecs for a wide variety of uses, all stored at the optimum conditions for their maintenance, be it damp, dry, cool, or warm. Yes, Scar had done a good job. JB just wished he would shut up about it. He hadn't stopped boasting since JB had arrived. The man looked as though he had been a warrior, and a good one. His name came from the multitude of white, crisscrossed lines that covered his otherwise tanned torso. But there was a hint of fat around the gut that didn't sit with the muscles on his chest, arms, and neck, a slight drag in one leg as he walked. JB suspected that Scar felt some kind of resentment at being retired from the fight, felt belittled at being put in charge of weapons maintenance rather than using the weapons himself. And this belligerent display was his way of proving that he was still of some use. which would make him volatile and possibly dangerous. JB would have to tread carefully if he was to learn anything from this man. And he had to, if the companions were to work out what Ethan's purpose was and what their chances were of walking away without having to stand and fight.
Yeah, I must say, it looks pretty impressive. And I doubt if I've ever seen anything kept in a better condition. I guess the Baron is pretty keen on amassing a good-sized armory, am I right?
Sure as shit. But see, it's not just the size of the armory that counts, it's how you keep it. Ethan's keen on getting together a shitload of weapons, but if he didn't have me to look after it...
Exactly. It'd just be a pile of junk, and that would be no good to anyone.
You got that right. See, I was a fighter and a hunter for a long time, but I always had the best weapons because I looked after them. Then I got hurt. And it took a while to heal. Started looking after the armory while I was waiting, and when I was fit enough to get back into the fray, Ethan begged me to stay doing this. Said he'd never seen an armory like it, and that it would make the Vill stronger. Shit, when your Baron makes you an offer like that, how can you say no?
You can't, because he'd have you chilled, JB thought. But he said something completely different.
The thing I don't get is, what's Ethan afraid of? We didn't see any other Vills in striking distance, and it doesn't seem like you have much trouble. You do too much trade, from what I've seen, to be at war with anyone. Who the hell do you fight with all this?
Scar eyed JB up and down. The armorer kept his face blank, wanting it to seem like an innocent question. Finally, the heavily scarred man gave in.
Maybe we don't fight so much as do a lot of hunting. And that's all I can say to you. If Ethan wants us to talk about it, then he'll say so.
The big man turned on his heel and strode off toward the armory building, the 12-gauge over his shoulder. His sudden clamming up gave JB something to think about as he followed on his heels. Christie was in a house filled with color. From room to room, the air was thick with the musk of scented cloth, the natural smells of the cotton and wool, freshly washed, mingling with the oils and perfumes used to make the cloth more attractive as it was cut into clothing. The scent and the colors were almost overpowering, taking the woman back to her days as a child, with Mother Sonia in the Vill of Harmony, where everything was fresh, clean, and filled with pleasing sensations, the memory of which had been dulled by the grind of survival in the Deathlands. This entire house was a warehouse for the cloth sold and traded by Angelica, the woman with whom Christie had been billeted. She was a tall, thin woman of indeterminate age. Her hair was piled high on her head and interwoven with strands of her own cloth in a multitude of colors that seemed to turn her into a walking rainbow, or a good advertisement of her own wares.
How did you come to be here?
I trade and travel. I traverse the seas in boats that are almost sinking. Many's the time I could have been chilled, never to see dry land once more, but the fates, they look after me, more than so many others. So I land, and I travel once more, buy and sell. Then I come here with traders, and Ethan makes me an offer.
Which was? I mean, it must have been something worthwhile to stop you after all that travel.
The journeys, they become all as one after a while. Maybe it's time for change. Maybe time to stay, make roots. And why not here? Ethan tells me... he gives me chance to build finest stock of cloth in the land. Make the best trade. Become first in this, as in all else. This will become rich and get richer. Has something few others have.
What's that?
Ambition. Old word. And something else. Oh, shit, what is word? Unique. Yes, that is it. Unique.
Christie frowned. She wasn't getting the whole story. But before she had a chance to frame a further question, Angelica hurried her with a little gesture.
Now come, we still have much to do. Not to gossip around fire like old women in the evening.